spirit lead in this realm. There's a God up in heaven, there's a devil in hell. There's a mother, she's crying, cause her babies are dying. And a father in jail, with a son by his side. But our father, he loves us, unlike any of us. Gave his only beloved, 316 on the cross. I know where you're going, if you live in that life. Don't be perfect among us, but in the dark we are light. Thank you, Jesus, I love you, help me spread the good news. If you live in a lie, you ain't gonna die with the truth.
This is Matt and Mom Live. It's real, it's raw, it's relevant. This show is about the topical, the conversational, but most importantly, the purposeful. We hope to develop and distribute hope to the broken. We pray that this show blesses you today.
We're back again with the Matt and Mom Show, and we are glad you tuned in. Of course, today I'm starting out, and that's a little bit different. So if you were expecting to hear Matt start out, we just changed things up a bit. And actually, we're changing the direction of the show today. Normally, we talk topical about particular areas of in our life that need to be strengthened, especially when we lose hope. But today, we're going to talk about a theme that runs through the scriptures. And I've been doing it in my Bible study with our women. Every single week, I come in and I bring in a sheep fact. Because did you know, and I'm sure many of you are aware, that the Lord is our shepherd. And he calls us his sheep. And sometimes we take that for granted and don't really think about what does that mean. And so every week I've been bringing in a new fact. And it's really been enlightening our minds and our hearts as to the relationship that our God has with us. He didn't call us lions. He didn't call us eagles. And in fact, there's that scripture that says, all we like sheep have gone astray. And we're going to delve into that. And we're hoping that as we delve into what it means to be a shepherd and what it means to be the sheep, that you will get a better understanding of the character of God. And in getting a better understanding, it will help your walk when things get tenuous. And so I'm going to start off with Matt had recently did a lesson on Psalm 23 on the Lord is my shepherd.
Yeah, the message was actually entitled Memory or Intimacy. And that was the thread that went through the message the entire time. And speaking on it and bringing up the question between two Christians out there, the one that knows Psalm 23 by memory and the one that knows the shepherd of Psalm 23 intimately. And which one are you? And sometimes we can so easily recite Psalm 23. And, you know, doing research and reading about the sheep and the shepherd, I read that Psalm 23 is the most used, recited psalm in the Bible. It's framed on hospital walls. Mm-hmm. It's inscribed in prison walls. It's known by the youth, quoted by the dying, recited and eulogized at funerals. But we never stop to consider even that first line in Psalms 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And we have to say who wrote it and understand what he meant when he wrote it. And we know that David wrote it. Whether it was in the beginning of his life, the middle, or the end, it doesn't matter. He wrote it knowing what it meant to be a shepherd, knowing the role. And by writing that very first phrase, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, he diminished himself to being a sheep. And he knew what it meant to be a sheep and the characteristics of a sheep.
Let's talk about that. What are the characteristics?
Interestingly, as you said, God did not call us eagles, lions. He didn't call us dogs in scripture. He called us sheep, and in fact, you can take that almost as an insult, because sheep are known to be dumb. They're very stupid. They're scared of their own shadow. Mm-hmm. They're afraid of raging waters. They are very dependent. Literally, if you don't feed them, they'll die. Mm-hmm. They are skittish. They are easily spooked. They say that even a squirrel can corner off a whole flock of sheep. Mm-hmm. Mosquitoes.
They follow. If one sheep jumps off a cliff,
right off the cliff,
they all follow. In fact, there is an interesting story that happened in Turkey. In 2005, one of the sheep jumped off a cliff. 1,500 other sheep followed. Now, my question was, when I read that, was, Where was the shepherd? See, again, the importance of someone overseeing sheep.
Right. They're not only dumb and dependent mm-hmm. upon direction. They need direction to survive.
Actually, it's not insulting to me. I'm like relieved. Okay, I'm a sheep. I'm dumb.
Well, yeah, no. When you come to the realization yeah. and you surrender to, okay, I want to be a sheep because I need guidance. I need direction. I need protection
yes,
from the world I live in. But if you don't, you say, why would he call us a sheep? Mm-hmm. And then somebody said, well, sheep are dumb. And you take that as, well, yeah, so are we. We don't know which way to go. That's why Isaiah the prophet wrote the scripture you quoted, which is, all we like sheep, mm-hmm. all have gone astray. We have all turned everyone
right.
to our own way. And we say, well, sometimes I think my way is the right way. And then there's a proverb that goes with this scripture verse in Isaiah. And it says, there's a way that seems right to a man. Mm-hmm. So there's the way that I think I should go. And it's my way. And it's the right way. And it's right to me. But its end is the way of destruction or death. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I decided to teach on Psalm 23 is because I see my testimony intertwined within these six verses in Psalm 23. And how it took my isolation, my imprisonment, to get me to see the shepherd for who he was and who he is in my life, and to reduce myself to a sheep who is dependent upon the shepherd. Mm. And there's certain scriptures that we'll kind of highlight today and break down what it means. And hopefully you can actually ask yourself, how do I know I'm his sheep? Jesus speaks more profoundly about him being the good shepherd. But he says that his sheep know his voice. So you have to say right there, do you know the shepherd's voice? That's the first thing you should ask yourself if you consider yourself God's sheep. Do you know his voice? And then it says the sheep who know his voice will know him. So do you know the characteristics of a shepherd and what it takes to actually be that shepherd?
Let's talk about that, because telling you the truth, I've been dwelling on the facts of the sheep. Tell us some facts about what is the characteristics of a shepherd.
Well, first of all, when Jesus and not only when David wrote this in Psalm 23, obviously several hundred years before Jesus' life, and then Jesus spoke about being the shepherd, he wasn't speaking something, an analogy, or teaching something that was foreign to his audience. His audience, being mostly Jewish men, would have understood what that meant as far as being a shepherd. Many of them, that was their livelihood. David, as a young boy, was a shepherd. Some of the Bible greats, Moses was a shepherd. Many of the prophets were shepherds. So this was a tailor-made message. And we aren't shepherds in America. So we kind of read this, recite this, Psalm 23, and we don't actually get to know the intimacy that comes in the scriptures, in the very meaning of Psalm 23. So the first thing you have to put in your mind about a shepherd is he was a man, obviously, and he wore a cotton tunic that would be held together by a leather belt. And on that belt was very important instruments. And one of the things on his belt that we'll talk about first, and it'll probably highlight why David was so good with a slingshot, was a slingshot. And he carried a slingshot with him for not only protection to use to ward off predators, but also to use as a weapon of direction or an instrument of direction, as he had on his leather belt a pouch of stones. So think about how David was so good with that sling. It's because he had practiced with his sheep. And they would swing that stone, that pebble, if a sheep or several of them were going astray. And he would use that pebble to kind of redirect them. Amazing. So he had to be accurate with it. Also in that pouch could be fruit. And that would be to feed the sheep, just like you would feed a dog or a puppy, little chow biscuits or something. Also on that belt was a horn that was filled with oil. We'll talk about a little bit more of the meaning behind that as we break down this Psalm 23. He also had a rod, and you hear that in Psalm 23, his rod and his staff that comfort me. What is a rod? It was a small club-like instrument. It was used for hand-to-hand combat when a shepherd would have to come up against a lion or bear or a wolf or a predator that was trying to get at his sheep. And we know that David was one who went up against a lion, went up against a bear. And that's why he was courageous and confident enough to go up against Goliath, because God had saw him through those. And then he had a staff. This was a 7 to 8 foot rod, basically, or pole.
Oh, they had two different ones, a rod and a staff?
The rod was a short,
I didn't realize
small-like
that.
Instrument. Mm-hmm. The staff would be something that had a crook at the end of it. And that was used to kind of pull the sheep in if they were about to go over a cliff, if they were going off the path. But it was also used to guide them, and he used it for communion and fellowship, to bring all the sheep into this pasture. And with that makeup, we have the picture of a shepherd. But then we talk about his role with these sheep. I mean, he's responsible for everything, for the sheep's nourishment, what they eat. He's responsible for their protection. He's responsible for keeping them from getting at each other, because at times in the pasture, the sheep, they butt each other. There are certain seasons where they are more
aggressive.
Yeah, aggressive. And we're going to talk about
it's hormones.
Yeah, mostly probably the males got at each other. But we call that butting, and that happens in the church, butting. Mm-hmm. And then we use another B word that talks about things that really bother the sheep is the biting.
Right.
The biting or the bugging. And there's just so many different things that the sheep had to go through that the shepherd could oversee that we go through.
Right. One of the things about sheep is that they are without claws and fangs to bite predators.
No protection.
No protection.
No defense.
So that's another really interesting thing. See, we are defenseless. Listen, when we're out there in life, if we don't lean on the shepherd, we are defenseless. And one of the things when you started out with the shepherd in Psalm 23, the sheep hear my voice. Is that in there, Psalm 23?
That's Jesus' words in John chapter 10.
Okay, you were going to touch on that. But I saw something on the internet where there was a number of shepherds together. Sometimes they get together because their paths interlock, and so their sheep get all blended.
Right, well, they would put them in one fold for the night, and one shepherd would be on guard.
Right.
And then you would wonder, okay, the next morning all these shepherds show up. How do they distinct between the masses? Which sheep are theirs?
Yes.
And this is interesting because you say, well, we just got done telling everybody that the sheep are dumb. But not so fast, because they're smart enough to know the tune, or if it was a song, or if it was a saying, or yep. if it was the voice mainly of the shepherd. He had a certain call that was distinct only to his sheep. So he would come in the morning and he would sing the song, or he would possibly even play an instrument or whatever it may be. The sheep knew the voice, the sound of their shepherd, and they began to divide.
Yes, I was going to say, there's actually footage on the internet in another country where the shepherd comes along and there's a zillion sheep, and he begins to sing something, and you see them all separate and follow after his voice.
Yeah, so that's exactly what Jesus meant when he said, my sheep know my voice. And he's saying, basically, he was comparing himself with the other religious leaders and the other philosophies of the day, which exist to this day. Yeah. He's saying, you got to know my voice. You got to know the truth, because you are so easily deceived. You're so susceptible to falling prey to these other voices out there that are telling you what to do, what is right. And they're ear ticklers. And in the Bible, Jesus called them hirelings. And they were just hired shepherds. So they had no vested interest in the sheep. So therefore, they would not put their life on the line for the sheep. And if a lion or a bear came, or a wolf, they would so easily scatter. They would run themselves, leaving the sheep prone to danger, to being killed. And that's why Jesus said, you got to understand, that's what the devil, the enemy, came to do. He came to kill, to steal, to destroy. But I came to give life. And he says, even as the good shepherd, this is the characteristic, the good shepherd will lay down his life.
Right.
For the sheep. And I say, all right, hold up. I get all that. I do understand that. I've memorized Psalm 23 since I was a kid. I just can't find myself being a sheep. And this is the reason why you can find security in the fact that it is okay to be a sheep to the great shepherd. Is the great shepherd reduced himself to a sheep when he came down to mankind. And he was slaughtered as the sheep. And that's why John the Baptist pointed to him and said, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. So we have a shepherd who reduced himself to a sheep to feel what we feel, who then laid down his life to save the sheep. Then he took his life back in his hands, and that is why I can find my security, I can find my provision, I can find all that I will ever need in the good shepherd. And I can say, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want, which means I need nothing when I know the good shepherd is the one that I'm following. So then we come into verse 2, which is pretty cool, because after finding out the actual meaning behind verse 2 in Psalms 23, it says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. And you can read over that so quickly and read through Psalm 23 so quickly, and you don't get what is being said. It's actually speaking of a firm but gentle, or gentle but firm pressure. He makes me, which means there has to be a pressure applied for the sheep to lie down at times, because even if good grass is surrounding them and they feel discomforted or they don't feel secure, they will not lie down.
Right.
So the shepherd would have to come over them at times and apply gentle but firm pressure to get them to lie down. So what does that look like, and how is that relevant for our lives? Well, I've experienced it in a different way than most people will ever experience it. And I experienced him making me lie down through isolation. Mm-hmm. Some of you may experience it through a setback. Some of you may experience him trying to make you to lie down to see that the grass isn't greener on the other side. It's actually greener where you are. And we're so distracted. And maybe a sickness is what's forced you to lie down. Maybe it's a financial disappointment, a setback. All these things God will use as the good shepherd to force you gently but firmly to lie down.
For me, it was a wayward child. I had a relationship with the shepherd, but not intimately, and I never took time to lie down. He had to lay me down when I lost control of what my son was doing, and it scared me. And so I became very still and wanted to get direction from the shepherd. So there's so many things. Go ahead. Keep going on that.
Well, yeah, that's part of verse 2, but it also says, and he leads me beside the still waters. So right there you have he makes me, and then he leads me. The makes me and the leads me, they're actually connected. You can't separate them, because after he makes you lie down, he got your attention, whatever it may be, your circumstances, this is what he wants to do. And it's not always aligned with what we think should happen or what should be the outcome. So as I lay down and I realize that the greener grass is not on the other side, it's right where I am, and he wants to speak to me, then he can lead me, because now I'm obedient. Now I'm docile, is another D word that I use to describe the sheep. Dependent, dumb, and docile. And docile means you are teachable. And you can finally allow him to lead you to still waters. What is still waters? Because I'm still sometimes struggling with going back to the raging waters of my past, or the watering holes that I'm so comfortable or familiar with because my friends hang out there, or what have you. But these still waters are not only a place that you must set apart where he leads you. It could be early in the morning. It could be late at night. I believe the still waters is the time that you spent in his word. Why? Because in the Bible it says he leads me to still waters. The word still waters means waters of rest. And where can you find rest? Well, it's when you get into the Word of God and when you open it up. And if you allow him to lead you into those moments, whether it's early in the morning, whether it's late at night, and you've set apart time in your day where he will lead you in these still waters. Well, guess what happens when you get into the waters of rest of the Word of God? The waters get into you and they become living waters. You see that? And it bubbles up inside of you. That's why Jesus said, I am the living water. I'm the eternal source of water that you need to drink. If it doesn't get in you, it can't come out of you. And right there, in the very beginning of this psalm, we learn about the character of the shepherd, the characteristics of a sheep, which allow us to proceed to the final verses. And I don't think we'll even get to them today. We're already about 17 minutes into the show. We don't like going longer than 20 minutes. But we really want to paint a picture of what it means to call yourself a sheep, and why God found that form of animal fitting to be what he compared us to. And why he also found it fitting to call himself a shepherd. So as we get a little bit more involved into this psalm and other scriptures and parts of the Bible that speak of this analogy, perhaps you can place yourself comfortably into that position as a sheep. And maybe you're holding on to something in your life right now. And that's what the sheep does not do. The sheep does not hold on, because the sheep doesn't know any better. The sheep is so need of direction. The sheep is so need of provision. It can't do anything on its own. And right now there's people out there probably trying to do things or do life on their own. And they keep running up against the wall. They keep butting their head against a neighbor, a friend, a coworker, a teammate, a peer. And they can't figure out why. And there's just different methods that the shepherd will use, that we'll introduce, to help you kind of sort out this friction that you may be feeling in your life.
And one last thing, just because some of you out there, you may be in church and doing all the right things, you think, and there's really nothing rubbing friction against you. Well, there's a fact about sheep that says eating too much green will cause them to bloat and die. And I'd like you to think about that in terms of, you know what? everything going so well and you not challenging yourself and becoming complacent in the word will cause us to bloat and to have issues. And so that's just one little other fact that we'll conclude with, and we'll probably pick up on this theme on our next show.
Right. So that, you know, that brings us back to the very message of memory or intimacy. And I did this my entire youth growing up, was feeding on God's word, memorizing God's word, taking notes, understanding the things of God, the ways of God, but never applying them. So what we call that is you are spiritually obese. You're willing to feed on it. You're willing to take notes. You're willing to sit in church. You're willing to serve in ministry, but you lost sight of the reason why you're in the ministry at all. So there's so many correlations that we're going to be making within the next few weeks and these shows. And as Mom finally said, and you might have been confused how sheep can keep eating. The sheep, they don't know when to move on. They'll just keep eating grass right down to the dirt. They really have no idea. And that's us. And you know what? I've settled myself in so many different ways while I was away to this analogy and to this truth, that I am always going to be a sheep in need of guidance, no matter how well I am put together, no matter what people think that, wow, he's got things all sorted out, not finally. I'm inside always still bang, bang, I say, bang, for the direction, the guidance, and the protection of the Good Shepherd. So we close out today's show just reminding you of some of the things we've already covered. And Psalms 23, do you only know it by memory, or do you know the shepherd of Psalm 23 intimately? Do you know what it means for him to call himself the Good Shepherd, the characteristics? Do you know what it means to call yourself a sheep? And what does that mean? We thank you for tuning in today. We like to end each show with Psalms 46:10, reminding you that no matter what you're going through, to be still. Be still and know that he is God. He is in control. At times, he wants you to let go and experience that stillness. Thank you for your audience.
Loves me just as I am, despite all my flaws. He takes the pain from my flesh and leaves it right at the cross.
Which way are you going? Yahweh, you don't know him. I answer his calling. Y'all people ain't knowing. He breathed in my lungs and spared me from Satan. And now that I love, even my loved ones, they hate. Waiting patiently, pacing for me to fall on my face. But I'm falling in faith, pardon me for his grace. There's a battle out there, spiritually in this realm. There's a God up in heaven, there's a devil in hell. There's a mother, she's crying, cause her babies are dying. And the father in jail, with a son by his side. But our father, he loves us, unlike any of us. Gave his only beloved, 316 on the cross. I know where you're going, if you live in that light. Don't be perfect among us, but in the dark we are light. Thank you, Jesus, I love you. Help me spread the good news. If you live in a lie, you ain't gonna die with the truth. Running the street, y'all think y'all doing something different.
Nah,
don't you know they've been watching that block that you're on since before my time?
Wow.
So what makes you think that you're doing something different? You want to do something different? Put your faith in Christ.